Welcome to Foot Weekly.
Black Friday has been and gone. We try to make sense of some previously unseen market forces.
Following last week's successful soothsaying, we check guaranteed informs.
With the advent of the 5 weekends of Footmas, we ask, how do EA solve a problem like December?
I bring you a new head-turning corner technique.
As always, we talk through the team of the week, our informed impression, and our dynamite discard.
Hello, welcome to Foot Weekly 11. And I'm Ben, and I'm with Horace.
Hi there.
And today we're going to start by talking about Black Friday.
Yeah, I think it's the only place to start, really. Massive amount of hype this weekend over it. And I mean, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. EA were releasing packs every hour, and I think a special, very short time limit SBC every 3 hours, roughly.
Which were often quite hard to complete, actually.
Yeah, some of those were quite difficult, and some of them, it was kind of clever, I guess, on EA's part. You needed like mixes of bronzes and silvers, so club players from clubs where there was a good mix of player ratings, some of them briefly shot up in value hugely.
Yeah, yeah. And they were actually like, I almost spent like the amount of time that one of them was on completing one, just trying to get the players for like a decent price.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a flash SBC, and it was quite clever because you did have to do it quite quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, the rewards from those were all right. There was the unicorn kit, which is a bit stupid. But then there was also one, I think they did a couple of times, where you got a rare pack and one where you got a mega pack. And I did one of the rare pack ones and got in one pack, I got Anthony Martial, Otamendi, and Movember Luis Gustavo. So I got like 50 or 60k just from that pack, and I'd been able to do it, I think, entirely with players from my club. So
some of those,
if you could do them, they worked out well.
So on top of that, obviously, there were the other SBCs, which were pretty significant and things that I kind of never expected to exist in FIFA.
Yeah, I mean, so we did touch on this last week, where in the social section we were saying someone had found these tradable and untradable Team of the Week packs, and we were wondering whether those would be purchasable with money or part of an SBC, and it turns out they're part of an SBC. And I think it was 8 a.m. UK time on Saturday, EA released this whole bunch of special SBCs that were up for 4 days, so they expired yesterday, or 2 days ago. And there was one where you could get a guaranteed 82 plus rated player, where you had to submit 7 rare golds and 4 non-rare golds. There was one where you could get an untradeable Team of the Week player, where you had to submit an 84 rated squad. You didn't need any informs, and very low chemistry requirements, so you didn't have to worry about the links between players. It was all about the ratings. And you could get a tradable Team of the Week pack by submitting an 84 rated squad with 2 Team of the Week players. And in each of those packs, it was just one inform from the Team of the Week. They also had some ones, which I didn't do at all, where you got a pack with at least 3 players guaranteed from Premier League, Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Serie A, like all the big leagues. But those didn't seem as worth it to me, so I didn't actually do those.
So the really interesting one was the 82 rated untradeable one. Was quite a weird one.
Yeah, because I had horrible luck with that. Yeah. I think I did it 6 or 7 times, and I got 1 84 rated player in Granit Xhaka, and everyone else was, I got a couple of 83s and the rest were all 82s, so that was basically useless.
Yeah, I mean, because for me though, it worked, like I did really well. I opened 5 and I got Alderweireld, who's obviously like 15k or something, so that's really good.
Yeah, saves you a bunch of points.
I got Lloris.
Yeah, another 20-odd K there.
And I got someone else good. I can't actually remember.
Bonucci,
that was it, yeah. So an 87 rate. So I got an 88, an 87, an 85.
Yeah, that's really strong.
And they're all like quite valuable high-rated players as well.
It's not like you picked up a Stefan Ruffier or something.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really interesting. And obviously I was like, oh, this is great. So I did 5. And then later on, like I think once I'd sort of got a few more players I wanted to chuck away, I did it twice, and the first time I did it, and I was thinking, oh, I could use them. I could probably get an 83, so I'll just use it in the Team of the Week one.
Yeah.
And I got Timo Horn. And
solid 82 rated goalkeeper.
I was like, yeah, well, I'll just do it again, and I'll submit him again. And opened up another pack, and there, It was Timo who won again. So
Timo won again. So yeah. Clearly he just fought off all the other players that you submitted to just stay in the back.
Exactly.
So, your luck kind of balanced out.
Yeah, it balanced out a bit, but actually overall still, it's still really worth it. Yeah.
50K or something.
Yeah. So it was really good. And then I did some of the team of the week one. Well, I did an untradeable team of the week, which I got Bissouac, who's like the worst player.
Yeah, the rubbish centre back.
But the reason why I did that was because the one before that, I got a team of the week, did a team of the week.
Tradable.
And got Insigne.
Oh, nice.
So that's obviously like, well, I reckon 60K it'll go up, so it should be like 70K by the time he's...
Should rise. I did two untradeable and two tradable team of the week ones. And I got, I think, Khamenei and Serna in my untradeables, and Suso and one other pretty low rated one. I tweeted it out. I basically got all the low rated ones except Bissouac.
Oh, did you get Mali? No.
Mali.
Yeah.
So that was pretty rubbish, to be honest.
And the other thing that I've done, which may pay off, is I've saved one of the team of the week, guaranteed tradable team of the week packs. So, because if you look back, like, at previous team of the weeks, for example, I think it's not the last team of the week, but the one before that.
2 weeks ago, so team of the week 9?
Yeah, if you look at that, and you look at the players that you're guaranteed, because you're guaranteed a gold team of the week player,
I believe.
So, if you look at that, there's only a couple of players who you probably wouldn't want, whereas if you look at this week...
About half the team of the week is going to be...
On
a normal week, they'd be discarded.
Because of the cost of that challenge, you need someone who's like 40.
Yeah, it has to be about 40 or 50K.
So Insigne's profit, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was an interesting team of the week because obviously it had Ronaldo and Yaya.
Mm.
But
David Luiz.
And David Luiz, yeah. So it was basically three very high value players. I mean, one ultra high value and two high value players, and the rest are all sub 100K.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, because it was Kane, wasn't there?
Yeah,
Socrates and Insigne were the only players that were kind of, I think, pushing.
Yeah, kind of mid-tier.
If like a few weeks ago, you can open that pack in at a time when the team of the week's looking good, I feel like it's worth it. And if anyone else has saved one, then hit us up on Twitter and let us know when you plan to use it.
Yeah, when you plan to pick up your 81 rated info.
Yeah. I feel like they're always going to put one in just to make sure that people can't get.
Definitely. But I mean, yeah, it was interesting they did it that way because the untradeable team of the week pack was specifically tied to team of the week 10. So
yeah,
I think no matter when you open it, even if you held out until after 6 PM on Wednesday, you would still get a team of the week 10 player, which is, I mean, fine, I guess. But I guess it was just an added incentive to do the tradable one because it gives you that extra flexibility.
Yeah. So, I mean, it required two informs, that one. So I happened to get quite lucky and got like Serna for 11K somehow, like Mandanda for 12. So it ended up not being too bad cost-wise. But it was interesting whether they're valuable. I don't think they were worth it after sort of the weekend because the prices rose quite significantly.
Yeah. I think it was just too expensive to do it. After I got kind of shafted on the first four, I decided, to be honest, I'll just sit on what I've got. I think it was nice to be able to roll the dice a couple of times, have a couple of plays.
It was nice to have a little bit of
once
a gamble.
I lost, I was like, I'm not going to continue because gambler's fallacy, like my luck's not going to change on this. I'm not going to get Ronaldo unless you do this 100 times and even then you're not guaranteed.
It needs to be a lot more than that. So that's probably enough on that because we want to move on.
One last thing to note on the SBCs was it came out fairly quickly. The community found like the right best formula for making an 84 rated squad. And
so,
this is quite
so we
important.
Both used that, I think.
So you needed two 84 rated players, 8 83 rated players and 1 80 rated player. And that specific balance of ratings gets you an 84 rated squad. Whereas
Which
you can
is
put
bizarre,
an 81 in instead of the 80 and your squad rating goes down to 83.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think I texted you, Ben, like a couple of weeks ago when I was doing an SBC. And I was finding I could put a card in that was like 3 ratings higher than another one and the squad rating went down.
Yeah.
So I think I must have accidentally stumbled on one of these formulas that gets a higher rated squad, but I didn't actually recognise what it was at that point because I just had slightly random players in the squad.
Yeah. So obviously worth noting for future. And there's possibilities that will, depending on the rating, there's obviously different ways you can achieve that rating with lower rated players. But the thing is, obviously, people found out very quickly. I think Nepenthes, big YouTuber, tweeted it, so
yeah,
by that point,
someone
almost everyone knew, and the player prices of 83s was like going through the roof by that
yeah
point,
exactly so but it is another one of those classic things where EA have just got some weird formulas in the workings of their game. Like, how on earth the squad ratings are calculated,
we don't know. It's probably done by some temp in 09 and they haven't changed it. But, so back to Black Friday itself and
in
the market.
What it did on the market. It was an interesting one. I was looking, reading kind of on Reddit and stuff a bit. There was a theory going around by a guy who claims to be an economist of some sort, as everyone on Reddit seems to, who's saying basically there's a theory that because a sufficient number, like a critical mass of the players, or at least a critical mass of the coins in the market, were owned by players who were going to anticipate the crash, that the crash from all the Black Friday packs, as well as being mitigated by the SBCs, was also priced into the market like weeks ahead. And so the gradual decline we've been seeing running up to Black Friday was the crash, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of touched on this last week. Saying,
and like, we have been saying that it was gonna, the crash was going to happen before.
A gentle decline rather than a sudden crash. And we haven't seen a sudden crash at any point.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, it's been one of those things where a lot of people have been reluctant to buy because it hasn't been a significant drop. Like,
yeah,
the rise afterwards has been quite significant, but at no time over the last couple of weeks have you thought, oh, the prices have dropped, I better pick up the team. I did end up picking up Suka on Saturday because just before prices went up.
Yeah, but you bought him at basically the...
Yeah, the lowest in a few weeks, price, I think.
You got the best price for it.
And then sold him on yesterday, so...
Yeah,
I think I picked up like 30k profit or something because of EA tax as well. So it ended up being about 30k. But yeah. So I think prices are a bit of a high at the moment.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We were having a quick look on FootBin at their Index 100 where they just track the prices of a bunch of players, kind of certain players over time to get an indicator of roughly what the market's doing as a whole.
Mm.
And what happened over the Black Friday was the prices were falling overall leading up to the Friday with kind of peaks and troughs around Weekend League as people bought and sold their players, but each week it was at a slightly lower level. And then when the SBCs got released on the Saturday after Black Friday, the market briefly shot up again. But then on Sunday we saw probably the biggest slump as I think people tried to get ahead of the curve to sell off their Weekend League teams because everyone's been... as the Weekend League has become more of a thing, more people have anticipated the Monday slump and that basically just got shoved forwards 24 hours because people were panicking.
And also with the SBCs.
And Cyber Monday.
And Cyber Monday, people probably thought this could
Maybe like we're in a bit of a bubble and actually the crash is still coming. People always kind of second guess themselves and you get a lot of people who are just quite nervy in FIFA trading.
And that also, obviously the SBCs, I think people might have actually sold players in order to raise funds to complete the SBCs on the Monday or Tuesday when the Weekend League wouldn't be on, so they have time to do it. And that was reflecting the fact that the prices of players for those SBCs increased quite significantly over that period.
But then what we've actually seen since Monday is a fairly steady rise. And looking at the kind of peak we've had in the middle of this week, the Index 100 at least is at similar levels to the kind of Monday post-Weekend League slumps from the end of October and even the and early November. So it's kind of, the market has recovered quite a lot. So I think this is probably a good time to sell off because I can't see it going up again much more.
Yeah, if you look at the peak, it's like we haven't had a peak like this for quite a while.
Yeah.
And this Weekend League is a Weekend League where there are no requirements. Last weekend we had requirements. So there's a thought that people are maybe building new teams, getting in players that they wanted to get in but couldn't. And I'd imagine that next weekend, because the requirements the weekend after it quite relatively tough. I think it's three nations.
It's maximum. Well, we'll probably just see a bunch of French teams and maybe Premier League teams with French, English and something else.
I think people are quite excited about a no requirement weekend, which means that we would probably see selling off again next week. So if you're looking to buy someone, try and hold on to them, I reckon.
Yeah, I think if you're looking to buy, hold on till Monday. If you're looking to sell, I'd say sell now.
Yeah, and you can survive a Weekend League with like a cheaper team.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it seems like the SBCs that were brought in were a deliberate attempt to control the market.
Yeah, I think EA have seen these SBCs as just a way of maintaining the number of, or not maintaining, limiting the number of cards on the market. Like, there would be your kind of elite players, I think, so few people will pack them on, so I mean, relatively so few people pack them, regardless how many packs get opened, their prices are actually probably fairly resistant to things like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But your mid-range players often tank completely around that time, whereas this will have used, like, taken loads of them off the market and has done well to maintain their prices.
And I think they've been quite clever in doing this. I wonder whether they've taken on some clever economists or something to achieve this, probably some of those Redditors. And what it's done is actually made pack, they've almost made it by introducing these things which seem like, wait, they're giving away Team of the Week players almost. They're like really helping the people pack good players. But actually what they're doing quite cleverly is making packs seem good value because the players that you'll get are still valuable. Like players like Koscielny, who by this point last year would have dropped.
You'd expect him to be less than 10K.
Yeah,
probably, but and he's still well over 20.
Exactly. So that there are plenty of players which are still good value now, and so if you pack them, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that didn't used to be the case. So I think they've cleverly actually probably helped themselves by helping everyone else in a weird way.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. They've kind of gone for like a more of everything. They're just trying to get more FIFA-nomic activity. Like by doing the SBCs, you've just got a much higher churn rate of cards in your club. Like you've got, and kind of weekend league rewards, you've got way more cards coming in than you ever would. But also cards are being taken out of the game, which is something that other than quick selling has never really happened before. And people would never in a previous year have effectively quick sold like an 82 plus rated player.
Yeah.
Whereas now that's, well, it's not what you're doing. You're kind of submitting them for a roll of the dice. But
in a lot of cases, you're basically just chucking them into the abyss.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're just getting rid of them.
It's fucking awful.
And maybe making your coins back and maybe not. So yeah, I think EA have done something clever. And to be honest, if it means they're making more money, that's fine because it also makes the game more enjoyable. I think
it keeps interest, doesn't it? Like when I open a pack, I'm actually vaguely excited because there might be a player. A much higher proportion
of your packs have someone of some value in.
Yeah, and it would make weekend league pretty dull if, because like this weekend league, I got gold 2, and it meant that I got a decent reward, and I got Koscielny. And like if I got Koscielny last year, he wouldn't have been.
It wouldn't have been as good.
And I wouldn't be as motivated to play the game or play weekend league. So
I guess our verdict on Black Friday is begrudgingly, well done EA. Well managed, good hype.
Yeah, you say that, but I'm never grudging when EA do something good because I think.
We're the beneficiaries, I guess, as players.
And I think it's nice to see that they've made such an effort this year.
Yeah, I guess if they're taking things on board. It's a different EA this year, I think, we're seeing than we have in other years.
And I think it's all good stuff. And I think in terms of the market going forward, I think there will still be a decline in player prices because player prices have declined over time. It's just maybe not happening in the same way that it used to. And there's also this argument that you won't see a big crash before events because back in the day, people were selling up their teams because the only way when coin selling was inflating prices massively was to pack a really good player.
Otherwise you'd just never get on that level of coins. Playing matches and trading playing matches would never get you there. And trading would take far longer than most people could invest.
So, you're not seeing that kind of sell-up before splash the coins, then buy your team back then, because obviously there's also anticipation involved and people know about it now. So because of the way the market works now, we probably won't see any huge crashes. EA seems to be managing things very well. So I just wouldn't, there are peaks and troughs, it seems, and that's the times to buy, but you're not really going to see the probably huge downturn.
Yeah.
Unless EA want to manage that themselves, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I think EA are, on the whole, in previous years, like, they've not paid much attention to the market and what they've done with it, whereas this year they seem to be trying to keep quite a close eye on it and control it rather than just letting it do what it wants.
Yeah. And so let's talk briefly before we move on about Movember cards.
Yeah, so everyone's been, like, we have been, everyone else that we've spoken to has sort of thought, oh, they've got to do a big SBC where you have to submit them Movember cards at some point because there are so many of them.
And of course that would encourage people to buy packs, but they're not in packs anymore.
They're out of packs, there's no SBC. I mean, maybe we'll see something on Friday. Maybe we'll see something today, Thursday evening. I don't know. I'm now increasingly thinking Probably not. And I think, Ben, we were talking the other day and you pointed out that basically they just make searching for discard price in forms a lot harder because there's so many special cards on the market.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's like a deliberate attempt to prevent the kind of like rapid fire purchase of just any in form of below a certain price. So if you're got an auto buying software, which we know is honestly so frustrating, if anyone's tried to purchase some of the 84 rated players that are sort of at the lower end and you're trying to snipe them, it's pretty much impossible because of auto buying.
Yeah, yeah. No matter how quick you try and do it manually, like I was trying to buy, it wasn't even for an SBC, I just wanted to pick up Martial to put him in a team because he kept scoring against me. And I was trying to snipe him, and I was like, you'd see it ticking over from 1 hour to 59 minutes, 59 seconds, and it would still be gone. It was just impossible.
And obviously it's through the web app that they managed to do this, and there are still coin sellers about, and they will employ software to try and auto-buy to make coins to sell, I think. And especially as the glitches have impact, that's quite a good way to do it. But what I was saying was that auto-buying is obviously more difficult if you've got loads of informs floating around which aren't actually useful.
Yeah, it plays around with the search filters that you could be using.
Exactly.
So it just, like, you have to let your software know that there are certain cards it shouldn't be buying.
It's just much more complicated.
It just makes things harder for those.
Yeah, and there are so many informs that it would be really difficult for, although I'm sure possible for an auto buyer to sort of pick every single player and then do it like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I was basically saying is that may be a reason why they're in the game, especially over this period when there was a lot of activity going on. It may have helped in some ways, but we don't know.
And to be honest, a couple of them are pretty good cards. Yeah, I used Barzagli over the weekend and he is awesome.
Yeah, and I've got the Movember Gustavo, who is also really good.
Yeah.
But the other thing to note is, obviously, they were out of packs for the whole month. I talked before about making an investment in Bellarabi, who I bought for 1.5 to 2k.
You bought a load of him, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought about 30, or maybe more, and I sold him not long before this weekend, which in hindsight wasn't the best idea because he was going for loads over the SBC period.
Oh, of course.
But, you know, you've got to cash out when it looks good,
Yeah, exactly. There's no point holding on and potentially not making any money.
Like, and I thought with that Friday, maybe prices would drop.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you saw a price that you're happy with.
Yeah, make hay when the sun shines, I think is the the phrase. But I made about 150% profit, I think, because just over 4K I was selling them for.
Nice.
So, it was really good. Brought me in 150K, which is really, really good. And if anyone spots that there's going to be players' impacts for that kind of length of time, when it's a player like Bellarabi, who's really useful, and there's not many players.
Yeah, there aren't that many good right-sided players in the Bundesliga.
I also noticed his price before I was buying him was up at sort of 4K only a week before, so you know that people are willing to pay that. So just have a look at that whenever a player's impacts, there's going to be impacts for an extended period.
Yeah, definitely. And I think,
as a special item, of course.
Also, a lot of these cards, Bellarabi was almost perfect because he was rare enough that your 30 Bellarabis is like as decent number of them, and he'll still have some value. He's not a discard player, but he's also not that expensive.
Yeah.
But it means there are enough of them on the market that his price doesn't immediately shoot up when it becomes apparent that he's going to be out of packs for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And his price did go up relatively quickly, but if you get in at the right time, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So definitely worth doing that, and keep an eye on that.
Cool. Should we have a quick chat about Foot Champs this past weekend?
Yeah. I mean, it was a bit of an uninspiring session. I think just got cold too, as I have been got a number of times. And
yeah, I think potentially the first weekend I actually played all 40 games.
Okay.
I've always hit a kind of threshold at maybe 37 or 38 or 36 on previous weekends not 36 because it's never more than four wins, but 37, 38 where I can no longer get the next level, and so I just stopped playing. But I had the worst start I've had at all. I think I lost my first four, which was incredibly frustrating. I was playing Friday daytime, which is just a mistake. Don't play Friday daytime. Wait until the evening. But then I only won maybe three out of my first 12 or so. But then from that point, I kind of turned things around a bit, switched my teams up, ended up with a Serie A team with second in form Immobile up top, who I might talk about a bit later. And it really, turned things around, went a lot better, and I ended up getting gold two with my last three games. So this was also the first weekend league where I've had hard disconnects that were not me losing connection
yeah.
to the internet. So my Xbox never lost connection to Xbox Live, but I got kicked out of games, including one where I was 3-0 up in the, like, in added time. And I was absolutely raging. And that was my fourth last game. So I just got to gold 3. I was on 18 wins. I needed 3 more for my last 4 games. This is my fourth last game. I was winning 3-0, 90th minute, and lost connection. I was just thinking, God, EA does not want me to get gold 2. So I stopped, switched, reset my router, reset my Xbox, set up port forwarding and a DMZ for the Xbox. I've not done that. Played my last 3 games. The first one, I was 2-0 down in the first 20 minutes. So I think I was still maybe a bit tilted, but kind of used my pauses, switched my team up a bit in game, and ended up winning 3-2 in the 90th minute. And then I was really fired up and won my last 2 games, like, really comfortably, and ticked over to gold 2. So
nice.
Really frustrating start, quite satisfying end.
Did you get anything good? Because I mentioned Cristiano Yanni a bit.
I got Claudio Bravo.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, he's all right, but yeah. nothing particularly special. The 45k coins is probably more useful.
Mm. So I had an interesting one where if I got Elite, I would have got...
You would have got Elite for the month.
And basically, I went on a great run. First 5 games, won 4 games. And that was pretty impressive. But then I went on the next... into the next 5 games and 1-1. So at that point, I kind of knew that things weren't going to work out for me, but I thought I'd push on, and I at that point got Suka, made like this really good force 19 with Blassie and Charisma. But yeah, I don't know, I just had a bit of a, like, I don't know, I think I was just like, you know, one of those times where you're just trying a bit too hard.
Yeah,
like, you just, like, you're not comfortable with how you're playing. It's a new team and you're trying to get things to work, and it just didn't feel like anything came together.
Nothing quite clicked.
And it was annoying because it was the one weekend where I wasn't having problems with lag.
Yeah.
I had a few games, but not the normal huge percentage. But yeah, it just didn't quite work for me. And I felt like maybe because people saw the legend, they were really like trying hard against me as well.
Yeah.
It's possible. But yeah, I think it was just one of those weekends. Like, things just didn't work out. It could have easily gone the other way. The games were quite tight. Just one of those things. But it's a shame because obviously it would have been nice to get Elite. And
get those 11 in forms for the monthly reward. The thing
I was thinking is that it's a bit of a shame because, well, I mean, it sounds a bit harsh, but obviously the number of wins you got for the month, which was how many?
I don't know. I was just into gold 2 for the month, but kind of like 80 odd.
Yeah, like that, so I got like 90 something. And the difference between that and gold 3...
Yeah,
it's huge. In 67. Of
in fact, no, I can't have been on 80 something. I would have been on, I was on low 70s, I think. So yeah, you probably won 20 more games over the month.
Yeah.
But we'll get the same monthly reward, unless EA change it.
And that's like quite a significant number of wins per week as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so yeah, that seems crazy. Like, the reward structure, I think, is slightly...
They need to...
I think they should separate
differentiate it out a bit more.
And even if it's just a slight difference, like one more inform, like, that would really make a difference, I think.
But
we don't know their rewards this month, so they might change.
And when they announced the October monthly rewards, they did say, look out for changes each month.
Yeah.
So I imagine they might at least differentiate it so that, like, the top level in each tier is different. So maybe gold 1 is better than gold 3.
The badges do look kind of different as well, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're kind of... I don't know. We'll have to see. So one extra thing on Foot Champions, looking ahead and also looking at monthly rewards, December seems
month.
To have 5 weekends, which we've not seen yet, just because of how it's worked out. But it was always going to happen at some point. What do we think is going to happen? And also Christmas/New Year. Will we do something special for
that? So Christmas week, kind of weekend, is obviously a time when a lot of people are away, so... those of our US listeners will note, though, that there wasn't any special
Thanksgiving
dispensation for Thanksgiving. So why would they do it for Christmas? Would they give the weekend off, or would they do it? You were thinking maybe their own.
Yeah, I was wondering maybe they'd do like a special Christmas weekend league.
Especially as people might have got it for Christmas
and
want to play straight away.
So maybe they do some kind of thing where you, like, everyone gets entry and it's potentially like your standard 40 games or something, but it's just entirely outside the normal weekend league system, so it doesn't contribute to your monthly rewards, but you maybe get like extra rewards because it's a special Christmas one.
Yeah,
I don't know, might see something like that.
And it's possible that we could, though, have, because the final weekend would be the 30th and the 1st of
31st
and the 1st
and the 1st
of January.
So that would be split across 2 months.
So it's off across 2 months. So I wonder whether they might just have that weekend as like a break weekend.
Yeah, that's possible.
But it's hard to say. They could really do anything, or they could just increase the number of win requirement.
Yeah, they could just proportionally boost the monthly
tiers. And do 5 weekends. Or they could keep it the same and have 5 weekends, which would be interesting.
Yeah, you just get a lot more people getting Golden Elite.
And on the other hand, that might be like a nice little Christmas gift, because ultimately those rewards are actually untradeable.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect things massively.
It has like a minimal impact on the market. It just means people that might have bought those informs
already might sell them on. Yeah.
Cool. So I think one last thing to look at before we take a quick break is corners. We got a tweet from Robert Drummond at Drummond2579 the other week. Asking if we had any ideas on how you can score corners more consistently, because he basically hadn't scored any. I've been struggling with them quite a lot, kind of playing them short a bit, sometimes lumping them in, but it's not been working that well. But Ben, you've got quite a good technique where you do flick-ons.
Yeah, so this technique we have posted a video of on Twitter. There's 4 goals that I've scored with the flick-on technique. Well, there's more than that, but those are the ones we selected. And you can see that on our Twitter. We'll post a link to it. And no sooner as we posted that video, our man, Steve at NY Chester, had scored a corner using the same technique. So shows that it is actually a technique that does work for other people, not just me. So the way you do it is you use LB.
Yeah, or L1 on PlayStation.
Or L1 on PlayStation to control a player in the box. And I don't think you're able to move that player.
No, I think, so the way it works is, you press LB and that switches you to, it's basically like change player. It switches to controlling a player in the box, and you can press it more times and it cycles through the players. But until you actually charge up and lock in your cross, you can't move that player.
Yeah, so you're basically like able to power your cross corner or whatever and decide the power, decide where it's going to go, and then it doesn't take it. And at that point, you're able to move the player. So you can move your man in the box, and when you've moved him into the right position, or just before you've moved him to the right position, you can press X or square, X on Xbox and square on PS3 or 4, and then that allows the cross to come in as soon as you press it with the power that you've preset. So this is quite an effective technique used by Dr. Poplove. In one of his videos, he kind of talks about how to do it, and you may well want to check that out, and we'll leave a link to that. So I originally started using this technique with Koulibaly, because he's an absolute monster in the air, and it was really easy for him to win the ball.
Yeah.
But it was really hard to get a shot on goal.
Okay.
And so after trying Poplove's technique, I was like, this isn't working. I'm still not scoring any, but I'm getting to the ball. So what I did was...
Was that trying to get Koulibaly into position and just taking a shot directly?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Okay. So what I did instead was get Koulibaly and pop him front, like near post, into that kind of, just in front of that little gap of space that normally opens up.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like the setup is right, so you've got too many players at the far post, you change kick taker, it sometimes resets the positions of the players.
Yeah.
So you can then move the player into that space in front. You need your best header of the ball, or the player, they don't have to be accurate, they just have to be able to get the ball.
Someone like Smalling or Koulibaly, as mentioned, who will just win the ball most of the time.
Exactly. So you send it in, the power, you can experiment with side what you like, but I'd sort of go for the mid power. The free kick take, the corner taker has to have good accuracy, I think, helps a lot. You won't be able to do it with just any old player. So send it in. And then with the flick on, you want to obviously direct it back into the center, really aim away from goal, but don't aim obviously.
Not out of the box.
Out of the box, unless there happens to be a player there, I guess. And what you do is you can use X. Well, actually you can use pretty much any of the passing buttons, see which one works best. I think pass does work best, just standard pass, but you could use through ball as well if you're struggling to kind of find the right player. Then basically you've caused a load of confusion. It's kind of what you want out of this tactic, and you spam shoot and hope it goes in. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. You can also flip it and do it. So if there's space at the back post, you could head it back across goal, which is in one of the examples as well. That's not quite as effective, I don't think. But actually, when it works, it seems like when you can get a solid header across, I think it is quite effective, but it's quite hard to do that. But yeah, so that's pretty much the technique in a nutshell. I don't think there's too much to add. Obviously, if you have success, let us know. And if you've got any questions, also hit us up.
Yeah, cool. We're going to take a quick break, after which we will bring you some social stuff from the forums, then talk through the team of the week, and as always, our informed impressions and dynamite discard.
So before we move on, a bit of social. Obviously, everyone knows the sad news now, I would have thought, about Chapecoense, Brazilian league side that were going to compete in a major Pan-South American final.
Copa Sudamerica.
Copa Sudamerica, that's correct. So that news, very sad. Obviously, many of the team, well, most of the team passed away in the accident. Also, the should mention this, I think it's the biggest tragedy for journalists in South America.
Yeah, I think it was sort of 25 journalists or something died. So it's a real, pretty awful thing.
Yeah, really terrible. And throughout the sort of full day that went on after the accident, there were a lot of posts on the forum and on Reddit saying that they should, yeah, should respond to this in some way. Because basically people wanted to pay their respects through FIFA to the Chapecoense tragedy. And the badges and kits, of course, the only things on the game, because of the Brazilian league's Brazilian league players not being in FIFA 17, is the badge and kits, which were price fixed essentially, or people had bought them up so they're extinct. Pretty sad, people trying to capitalize on such a tragedy.
Yeah,
but this has happened in the past.
Yeah, I mean, when Chicho Benitez died, when Junior Malanda passed away, I think last year or the year before, and even when Adam Johnson got convicted last year, those cards all get price fixed and their prices skyrocket, and it's basically people, I mean, it's just the ugly side of the FIFA community, like trying to make FIFA coins out of real life tragedy.
But yeah, so what they've done is, in a large raised middle finger to those people, is give out the kits.
Yeah, exactly. Untradeable. They just gave everyone their kits and the badge, which is quite a good gesture.
I think
really I guess good. They could have done more.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, I saw a number of posts suggesting things, ways they could have maybe made some form of donation. They could have, for example, made a pack which contains the kit and badge, and that would have allowed them to charge for it, and then that money could go to
some
fund.
Nominal, very low fee, like 100 FIFA points or something, which equates to like, 50p? I don't actually know what the rate is, but some small amount of money that people would be happy to donate, and maybe then just, that would, I assume, probably actually generate quite a lot of money.
And maybe even have like multiple kits, like, you know, different prices, basically.
Yeah.
And that would work quite effectively. But so that was interesting. And well done to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good gesture in the face of a tragedy for football.
Yeah, really. And I think the only other thing to mention is really sad that the Brazil leagues aren't in the game. And I was always a huge fan. And my early FIFA days mainly made Brazil teams and got sort of chatting with a lot of people on the Brazil forums and like made like full informed teams and stuff from that league. And it was really good fun. And actually always quite disappointed when the league's not in the game, especially when EA told everyone that it would be in the game. And presumably there are lots of Brazilians who have bought the game thinking that their favourite club would be in it.
Well, I mean, the kits and badges are there, so some element of the licensing must be all right. Is it the player likenesses?
I guess it must be player licensing with the whoever organises the licensing for individual players. They must not have
Be holding out for too much.
Yeah, it could be something like that. Apparently, I've heard they're always quite difficult to deal with, and that's why it hasn't worked out in the past.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed they can get that sorted out at some point in this game. It'd be nice to have
it. Yeah, it could be would just suddenly create a whole load of new players on the market to think about and potentially use.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. And we'll move on to the team of the week.
Yeah, and it's an all right one. It's not quite on the level maybe overall as some of the ones we've had recently, but you've got an 87, an 88, an 89 and a 90 in Cavani, Hummels, Godin and Aguero respectively, which all look very nice. I almost bought Cavani's first in form this weekend, so I'm quite glad I held off on that, given that this second one's come out. That looks like a very strong card, actually, as a sort of target man. Strong physical, awesome shooting, excellent dribbling as well. Aguero, we know, will be brilliant. Godin and Hummels both will be excellent defenders. I think they're both easily good enough to make up for their slightly lower pace. Other cards to note, maybe sort of honourable mentions. Marquinhos, I think, looks like actually an awesome ball-playing centre-back
who
shouldn't be that expensive. Perotti, the Roma player, 5-star weak foot, and he's had a hefty boost to his shooting, which was the one thing that lets him down. Unfortunately, he's gone out from the centre to the left side.
And Piatti's had a plus 10 shooting.
Yeah, Piatti's shooting's gone from 70 up to 80. So,
in fact, his finishing has had a plus 10 as well.
Yeah, he looks pretty solid. Gylfi Sigurdsson, potentially as a sort of false nine or drop him down to a cam, even though the inform's at striker, one to maybe keep an eye on. Timo Werner, the 92 pace RB Leipzig striker, he'll be excellent.
And Vossen mentioned, because obviously his significance for
the Hazard SBC, which has about 20 hours to go as we record.
Probably less
in fact.
When you listen to this, it's probably finished. So.
But he's going very cheaply, because I think if you use him, you have to use Courtois in the team.
Yeah.
Courtois is extinct currently. And one other player to give a shout out to before we take a closer look at some is Bernardo Silva, who's got a second inform. We picked out his first inform as one where, with the right chem style, could be an excellent card. This one is just better all round because it's a second inform. So if you're looking for a right-sided player in the French league, I think he could actually be really strong and shouldn't be too expensive. But yeah, Ben, who's your first card to take a closer look at?
So my first card, actually nicely moving on from that, is yet another Portuguese. I seem to have a Portuguese as my pick every week, and this week is no exception, because Pizzi is actually a centre mid, and he has moved from a right mid. And those who know Pizzi, he is a really, really solid all-round player, but has kind of suffered from being at right mid because he's not the quickest. He plays for Benfica and is in the Liga NOS, and actually looks like the best cam in the league.
Really?
The only other cam, he's got 4-star skills, is Quintero, and he's decent, but he's got awful stamina and is kind of average. So I'd say Pizzi is going to fall into the category of a player who's quite unique. And not only that, but he can kind of do a job in like an actual centre mid role as well.
Yeah.
His defending stats aren't awful. He's got a 66 standing tackle. So yeah, I think he could do a job in most of the central areas. Striker, you could use him there. His finishing's not amazing, but as a false nine, I think he'd be quite effective.
Yeah.
In terms of stats, he puts Maestro on him, which is pretty good for a cam generally. He's got 95 short passing and 88 vision, 88 curve and 88 free kick accuracy. He's got 87 agility, that's just standard, no boost from Maestro, and 95 dribbling, so that looks really nice. And his dribbling, all the stats in his dribbling are above 85, in the dribbling category, above 85. Positioning, decent. Finishing, 83. Shot power, 90. Long shots, 93 with Maestro, and 92 volleys, as well as 86 acceleration and 79 sprint speed. So yeah,
he looks very good, like a lovely all-round midfielder, and sort of something that maybe Portugal and that league were both missing.
Yeah, exactly. Four-star, and I reckon he shouldn't be too expensive. I think he's about 19k at the time of recording.
Yeah, so that's probably going to go down.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the card, I'm just going to pick out one this week to have a closer look at, and it's Moussa Sow, or Moussa Sow, who plays for Fenerbahce, Senegalese right mid. Which is a real disappointment, because apparently he played at striker. All the predictions I saw said this card was going to be a striker. So it's a sort of, he's kind of a nearly man. If this was a striker card, and if he had 4-star skills, he would be unbelievably good.
Unplayable, basically.
Yeah, he's got just base stats on the card, 87 pace, 84 dribbling, 86 shooting, but also 75 passing and a strong 80 physical. He's 5'10", he's got 4-star weak foot, and again, these are raw in-game stats. He's got 92 agility, 83 ball control, 82 dribbling, 81 strength, as well as 86 jumping and 89 heading. Then on shooting, he's got 90 positioning, 88 finishing, 88 shot power, 80 long shots, 88 volleys. And his passing stats, so his link-up play will be fine as well, because he's got kind of mid-70s and all the relevant ones there.
Mm.
So basically, if this card was a striker, it would be one of the most effective strikers in the game. So I've it's kind of a one to watch, but also tinged with slight disappointment.
Yeah, it's a real shame that they messed up on the positioning, to be honest, because he'd be so good.
Maybe they just thought they couldn't do that to the community.
Maybe, but not many people would use it, which would be the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the Turkish League people. There's only a small proportion of the FIFA community that ever looks outside the Premier League, really.
Yeah. So my next pick is a guy that is a bit, if you played FIFA in the early days, it's a bit of a legend. Lisandro Lopez. He used to play for Lyon and had a card, an inform card with 91 pace, 92 shooting and 85 dribbling, as well as 86 heading. And he had a inform back when informs didn't look any different. So that would have been, I think, 10 or something, where he had something like 82 defending as a striker. So that was quite interesting.
He's he's been around for ages as well, but somehow is only 33.
Yeah, so he's a quality card back then, and to be honest, it doesn't look too dissimilar now. He's only 82 rated, but he's got 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot. Interestingly, high work rates on a striker, so perhaps a player to play in a two with a guy who's more of a poacher. Yeah,
he looks a bit like a sort of Tevez mould.
Yeah, card. I think he is a bit of a Tevez mould. He's got, so I put Hunter on him, which gives him, I mean, most cards do look pretty good with Hunter, but 91 acceleration, 92 sprint speed, 99 positioning, no stat wastage, that's a plus 15, 94 finishing, 93 shot power, 85 long shots, 89 volleys and 99 penalties. So that's pretty solid. And then he's also got 80 short passing and 81 curve, which is nice. 87 agility. And for a guy who has 79 strength, that's really quite good. 88 stamina as well. So despite being the ripe age of 33, he's still...
He'll keep running.
Got something in the tank, yeah. And 82 dribbling. 82 ball control and 79 dribbling. So maybe an argument not to go for Hunter on it because you might want a bit more dribbling. But with that agility, he'd probably be okay. And yeah, I mean, he plays in the Primera División, so that's Argentina. So there's not too many quality strong links, but there'll be plenty of strong links, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so there are lots of ways you could link him in.
Yeah.
Also, Argentina, there are a lot of really good cards this year, so you could just put him, have a bunch of weak links into him to get onto chemistry.
And yeah, linking up with someone like Di Maria, there's just so many players that he could work quite nicely with, I think. So I think I'm going to pick him up just to give him a whirl at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he'll be discard unless we get some funky SBC. so yeah, he'll definitely be one to pick up, I reckon. Cool. Should we move on to informed impressions?
Yeah, probably is about time.
Yeah, about that time. And this week I bring you second inform, Ciro Immobile.
Ooh, very interesting.
When you put Hunter on him, is quite mobile. I mentioned earlier that he was part of the team that saved my weekend league where I switched things up. And I remembered facing him kind of a few weeks back and he scored a hat-trick against me. He seemed like a really solid card. And I hadn't really looked at his in-games at that point or anything, but I just thought I would pick him up because I knew he's kind of fairly strong, decently tall, good in the air, but with really strong shooting. So I bought him, came with Hunter on him already. And he's one of those cards where, by default, his sprint speed is a bit higher than his acceleration. So a card like Hunter balances out his pace quite nicely to the round figure of 96 with 95 acceleration, 97 sprint speed on a card with 81 strength, 81 agility, 85 ball control, 83 dribbling. So he feels really, really strong on the ball. And my own favourite overlooked stat, 92 reactions, which means he a lot of the time I'd find... If there's a loose ball in the box, he's on it straight away, like really, really quickly. And that kind of ties in with the Hunter boost, which takes his positioning up to 99, along with his finishing and his shot power. So he's basically the ultimate guy for just putting the ball away.
Yeah, not the best long passing, eh?
Yeah, not the best long passing at only 54, but his short passing
he just gets on the end of stuff. So
he just gets on the end of stuff. And his short passing is 77, so his kind of link-up play with his feet is fine. Yeah. His long shots, 87 with Hunter on, which is decent. I took a few and basically his shot power carries him in that. It's kind of, it's not incredibly consistent, but if it's on target, it's going to be a corner or a goal, basically. Very rare the keeper held onto it. He's also got 95 volleys with Hunter. And his aerial stats weren't boosted by Hunter at all, obviously, but jumping 86 and heading 87 combined with his positioning meant he got on the end of a lot of crosses. And I found I haven't crossed that much this year, but I whacked up crossing on my custom tactics a bit. I had Mertens on one wing, he's got excellent crossing. Cuadrado on the other, who's got all right crossing, not brilliant. But I found, I was scoring quite a lot of very satisfying goals, and it definitely saved me a few results where I would not have got it if I'd been using like a kind of nippy, dribbly, skilly striker.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting because I was actually going to quickly mention about crossing. Crossing on your custom tactics, I actually realised is important to not have too low, even if you're playing without doing too many crosses.
Even if you're playing just through the middle.
Yeah, because crossing seems to encourage players to make a move into the box.
Yeah.
And I found that when I had crossing quite low on custom tactics, they actually just weren't moving into the box. And that really negatively affected my play, even though I'm not sending loads of crosses in. Anyway, have we got any good traits on him?
Yeah, so he doesn't have finesse shot, unfortunately. He does have tried to beat defensive line and flair.
Oh, nice.
So that helped with his sort of link-up play. You can do fancy flicks and stuff if you want. And also, I had him on target man instructions, but with the tri-speed defensive line trait, that meant when it was useful to the build-up play, he would still try to make those runs in behind, which was quite a nice balance to have.
Yeah, I think I've forgot to mention Lopez has tried to get in behind as well, so that would be quite interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah, and actually Pitsy had a corner specialist, completely forgot to mention the traits, but yeah, corner specialist, which was quite interesting considering what we were talking about earlier, seeing whether that makes a difference.
Cool. Do we want to move on to our Dynamite discard for this week?
Yeah, I'm bringing the Dynamite discard today, and it's someone that anyone who's built a Russian League side or used Russian League players may well have used him and will know straight away if I say a right back who it's going to be, because actually there aren't many right backs in the league of quality. But Smolnikov, Igor Smolnikov, is one of the best right backs I've used. He's solid in height at 5'10". He's got medium work rates, which I quite like, because it means you can not put stay back on and they'll still be in the right positions, I think.
Yeah, exactly. He won't bomb forward even if you don't tell him to stay back.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. And what I've done is I've basically stuck with what he's got and gone with basic, because I found that it sort of gave a boost to everything, and on a right back that's often quite useful.
Yeah, I often stick with basic on my fullbacks.
So I was saying he's 5'10", he's with basic, he's got 90 jumping, so he's really unlikely to get out jumped. He's got 73 strength, which is quite solid, especially in that position. Stamina at 93, so he can run up and down for days. Short passing at 85, long passing at 81, that's exactly kind of what you want on a right back. Actually quite good vision at 81, which is always nice.
Yeah.
80 crossing, really well rounded. And he's also got really good marking and stand tackle. Marking is actually his strongest defensive stat at 88, standing tackle 83, sliding 86. So yeah, he's really, really solid all around. And got really good agility as well, and ball control, which again is really helpful in attack.
Yeah, well, and defence as well, kind of not giving it away, being able to change direction quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I used him in a Giuliano team earlier on this year, kind of a few weeks back, and I really, really liked him. So I can second everything Ben's saying here.
Yeah, and with this, he's one of these players, again, who has decent sprint speed. Really good sprint speed at 90, and previously, before the boost, had 84 acceleration. So that boost of plus 5 from basic
sort of balances out his pace
exactly
to 89 and 90, which, yeah really, really strong.
So yeah, I'd definitely recommend him. And
the only real alternative in the league is Mario Fernandez, the Brazilian.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he's a bit slower, a bit clunkier on the ball.
He's more of a defensive player, really. And Smolnikov gives a really nice option going forwards and defence.
Cool. So I guess one last thing before we say goodbye is we haven't actually mentioned the goalkeeper survey that we sent out earlier this week, or in fact just before we recorded last week. We wanted to analyse the results in this episode, and we have talked through them. We spent a while yesterday, but we're just, in interest of keeping the episode short, we've decided we're actually going to push that on to next week.
Yeah, we just want to do it justice, really. I mean, everyone's taking the time to fill it in. We've got like 50 surveys, so we'll just give it more time next week. And so yeah, thanks again to everyone who filled it out. Great response, and we'll definitely get onto it next week.
Cool. So all that remains now is to say goodbye. So goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. Have a good week.